Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans from around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. Today I am very pleased and excited to have with me Dean McMurray, the military medium. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you, Star. It's a pleasure being here.
Great. Could you tell us about your path and how you got to where you are today?
Absolutely. You know, reflecting back my past, as you say, is talking. I spent 24 years in the U.S. Armed Forces, in the Army, to be exact. 14 and a half of those years were spent with the active duty Army, and then the last 10 were with the active duty Army National Guard. And, you know, during that time, I really got to share, Star, is that I was not open to healers. I was not open to mediums or energy or those types of things. And as I kind of put the umbrella term, the holistic community, but I always knew there was something bigger than myself. And it wasn't until towards the end of my military career, going back about 9 years ago, I deployed to Kosovo, and it was one of my last overseas deployments. And while I was overseas, my wife had sent me an email saying, I had a local psychic come over to the house and douse the house. And I'm like, what the heck? I didn't even know our community had psychics, number one. And number two, I was like, what is dousing? And so after a Google search, I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, well, whatever, to help you through my deployment. And, you know, I know I wasn't there. And when I came back from the, you know, tour overseas, a lot of what I would call paranormal activity started happening in my home. And what I mean by that is a lot of pictures and clocks were physically coming off the wall. And it was something that needed to happen for me or something that I needed to experience. So I went, holy, you know what? You know, there's something going on. And I was referring to, at the time, this psychic that my wife had seen as the voodoo chick. That was my terminology. And just a little fast forward on that, I've come to, she's actually a very close friend of mine now. But at that time, that's the words that I used. And basically, she told me that my grandfather was there supporting me after the deployment. And I just wasn't in a space to receive that message. And so I kind of brushed her off as saying, you don't know what you're talking about. And she said, some big stuff is about to happen. I don't know quite what it is, but you'll figure it out. Well, fast forward a couple weeks, and I was washing bottles. Our son was a newborn. I lovingly referred to him as our deployment baby. And he was a newborn, so I was washing bottles around midnight, and I kept on getting that creeped out feeling like somebody was watching me. And this, this went on for a little while that evening, and I was like, what the heck? And everybody in my household was in bed at the time. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got a knowing that it was my grandmother. And I was having a conversation in my mind going, how do I know it's grandma? I don't know how it's, you know. And so it's the back and forth between what I understand is my ego and just that mind or within my mind, within myself. And but there was no there was no denying what I could feel and what I knew, and even though I couldn't explain it. So I finished doing what I needed to do and went to bed, and I was talking to my grandmother one way and saying, well, I love you and miss you, and, you know, what have you been up to? And I wasn't receiving any messages at this time. But it was about that time when I went to bed that I was like, what I call my ego kind of popped up and said, you know, Dean, you're just making this stuff up. You're just tired. It's just your imagination at work. If she's really here, why doesn't she prove it? Why can't she just, you know, really prove that you're here? And immediately as I thought those words, it was as if I was walking into you think of a walk-in cooler, and the temperature changed that dramatically. Went from a comfortable room temperature to, you know, think of somebody opening the window and in the middle of January, February, absolutely frigid. And so, of course, that had me freaked out and on edge, but I continued talking to my grandma, still one way at this point. And then my ego popped back up and said, you know what, Dean? I kept on trying to put logic to it and said, you know what, why don't you just have her touch you? It will put everything, you know, to rest, all your worries or whatever. You're having what some might call a nightmare or a dream or whatever. We'll just have her touch you, you know, let's just put this to rest. And so Grandma wasn't there to disappoint that evening, because from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, it was as if a very gentle but yet firm weight was applied all over my body, and I was physically pushed into the mattress, not in a bad way. I don't want anybody to think, oh, my God, all of a sudden Dean was possessed. It wasn't like that. It was like I became heavier than the mattress, and where I could physically feel the springs compress, I could hear them, you know, and it was something that I couldn't deny. I had to, in retrospect, looking back, it was something that I needed. It was an experience that I needed to have to kind of snap me out of my, you know, hey, what about the logic aspect? Or, hey, what about this? And so, of course, as you can imagine, I thought that I unsealed a dimension to hell or somewhere else. It freaked the holy hell right out of me, to be quite honest. And I was like, all right, Grandma, we love you. We'll see you soon, basically. I wanted her to leave, and as soon as I said that, boom, it was like she was never there. It returned, you know, the room turned to room temperature straight away, and the weight disappeared. And, of course, I'm sitting up, I'm covered in light sweat. My wife, who never is a deep sleeper, has never, ever since we've first started dating, has never been a deep sleeper, and especially being the mother of a newborn, would never be in a deep sleep. She is absolutely passed out snoring, and I had to wake her up, and I said, hey, there's somebody here, and of course she wakes up startled, thinking there's somebody breaking in, and I said, no, there's a spirit here. And she looked at me very confused, and she was like, how do you know? And I said, right? I don't know. And I said, you need to get a hold of Voodoo Chick. And she was like, Dean, it's like 2:30 in the morning. And long story short, you know, a lot of frantic calls or trying to make sense of things really led to me taking some courses from this lady that I always talk about, and the universe really just put forth things in front of my path that I went, holy cow, you know, as I'm sure as you know, Star, as one door leads to another and another and another, and I met some very tremendous people, and it seemed like all of a sudden there was no specific, you know, there was no parting of the cloud, so to speak. But I was like, what does being a medium mean for Dean? Because that's what I kept on being told was, Dean, you're a medium. And that was the message of my grandmother, you know, coming to me that evening. And of course, the psychic was telling me this. Everybody that I met was telling me, oh, my God, you're a medium and this. And I was like, you guys are smoking some great stuff because I am not. I am not a, you know, and I kept on pushing it away. I don't want it. And it was like, well, too bad because you can't get rid of it. And that's what I slowly came to understand. It's like having a mole on your hand and saying, I don't want this. But it's like, but guess what? It's not going away. So how? What does this mean for me? And that's what I went on a journey, really. And every day is a journey to me. But I went on a journey trying to figure out, what does being a medium really mean for Dean McMurray? And because you have to understand that at that point, I was still, you know, Monday through Friday, one week in a month, I was still a full-time soldier. And so quite literally, you know, I was Dean the soldier by day and Dean the medium by night, because I ended up coming across a great gentleman that from the Midwest region that did a mediumship boot camp, and it was just one of those things that the universe put across my path. And I took his course and learned about some stuff in mediumship. And really, after this intense program, it was like all of a sudden prior to that, all the messages just started flooding in. It was like a crazy fire hydrant gone berserk. And I was like, oh my God, how do I control it? How do you know? And that's where, you know, I took the mediumship course, learned how to control some of these, you know, the abilities, how to refine, you know, fine tune energies, all that great stuff. And then really I went on I'll call it a year long apprenticeship where I gave readings for anybody and everybody, but I wasn't charging anything. And because that was my learning time. And quite literally, you know, I think for a lot of people that do readings, usually start for friends and family. And then it starts, you know, people go, oh my God, you know, you gotta go see this guy. And all of a sudden I started getting calls from people that I had no clue who they were. And I was like, who are you?
Or the cousin of the cousin of the neighbor of the cousin of the aunt, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, my cousin's aunt's college roommates had, and I'm going, huh? You know, it will get out there. And what I find very interesting and very, very important is your military background, because there's so many people who have given great service to this country. And they have post-traumatic stress syndrome. Mm. They watched people die. There are so many questions they have about spirit and earth, other spirits, that, you know, okay, so I'm an old, you know, 78-year-old lady who's never been in the military service, and they can't relate to me, but I think it's so important that you having this military service, that you can talk to these people. Do you attract many people from the military or military families?
And, you know, absolutely. You know, and it's beautiful that you brought up, you know, not just the soldiers. When I say soldier, of course, I'm talking about all branches. I don't want somebody out there saying, well, I'm a sailor, I'm an airman. I'm talking about all branches and all countries, too. I'm not, you know, just American military. But the thing is that because the family, we can't forget about the family either, because the family serves as well, even though, you know, they're back home keeping the home fires burning and the kids deal and all that great stuff. But these Gold Star families, that have lost service members, and as well as children that maybe they're not a Gold Star family, maybe they're a son or a daughter of their mom or dad was a longtime veteran, but they were a huge patriot. And, you know, that was, and really when you think about it, when anybody raises their hand and signs on the dotted line, you know, that becomes, it really becomes ingrained in you. Just, you know, you're serving from that heart space, really your country. And so that really becomes so much of you. And really that's why, for me, honestly, that's where I kind of, that's one of the biggest reasons that I kind of went with, if you think of the tagline, the military medium, because for the majority of my adult life, from the age of 19 until just, well, I retired, what, 5 years ago, and here I am 47, so I was at the, you know, 42 years old, that, but the thing is that, you know, it becomes such a part of your life. And, you know, it kind of is part of you. It doesn't define you, but it becomes part of you and becomes part of that family. So it's a beautiful thing, though, is there is a lot of pain and there is a lot of hurting. But do I find that I work with a lot of veterans and families? Absolutely. Have I worked with a lot of actual people that I serve with directly? Yes, I have. And it is, I am humbled and privileged to be able to do this each and every day. And you know, the funny thing is, Star, I had originally planned after I retired to actually work with veterans, but in a different capacity. I was going to work for actually one of the veterans organizations, and I had it all mapped out, and I was going to be a government service and all this great stuff, a civil servant. But the universe had to, saying, you're going to work with veterans, but not in the way you think. and I would have to giggle because I think somebody up there was laughing and saying, yeah, you think you got to figure it out, but not quite. So.
Well, I think it's very, very important. I probably have not met many military people. Now, I've met the people who worked in the government and saw secrets and are doing all that stuff. But as far as military mediums and you having that huge chunk of experience, I think in every family, an uncle, an aunt, a father, a brother, a sister, a child, in every family, somebody has had somebody in the branch of the service. And energetically and psychically, when that person is in the service, there is a type of worry, there is a type of connection where you're going, oh, my God, I hope he's safe or she's safe or they're not overworking. And I think because you were in this for your whole life, but you would naturally have a way of connecting to this profoundly and deeply and being able to answer questions from not only your connection to spirit, but to your connection to your own lifetime experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, and as I deepen my, I'll call it my spiritual journey, and, you know, and you start exploring further down the rabbit hole, per se, I really believe that, and of course, there are no coincidences, there are no accidents, but there are so many past lives, you know, large majority of my past lives has some aspect of the military in it. And so it's no surprise to me that it was very natural. And, of course, you know, like a lot of military families, it was very natural, of course, for me to want to go do that and serve my country. But the thing is, sometimes I kind of smile because I'm saying, well, the universe knows where each person is best served. And for me, for whatever reason, and sometimes we don't always see that, mm-hmm. we don't always see what's right in front of us until later in retrospect as saying, hey, you need to go serve your country.
And where can we get a hold of you? Where can we get a hold of you if we want to have
this session? You can jump over to my website at deanmcmurray.com and just click on the contact tab and shoot me a quick email. That's the easiest way. Of course, mobile, I get it right to my phone. And usually, unless I'm with a client or on the road, I usually get back to folks within about an hour. So shoot me an email.
Well,
that's the best way to do that.
And, you know, if we look at your military past lives, in the old days, 400-500 years ago, a military leader did not go anyplace without his wizard, his astrologist, spiritual advisor. I mean, 600-700 years ago, battles were only fought on auspicious days or when the energies felt right, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Military backgrounds, you could have been, and they wouldn't be called the psychic, the advisors to the kings and the leaders, and that more so than their generals, the leaders of these armies would listen to their advisors who had skills in the magical or the psychic realms. And, you know, just in the last 500 years, we started doing things a little differently. So let's talk about being a medium. More. Do you do this in groups or do you do this individually for people?
Right. So I do both. I love coming in and doing corporate events. So if you think a gallery, so, you know, whether we're talking about 300 to 500 to 1,000 people to... I've even come in and done, just recently, last month, I think I went in and did a beautiful reading for a group of ladies, a bunch of sisters, I think they were, and their friends. They did a private party, and I think there was, 10 to 12. And then also I do one-on-one, but when I do one-on-one sessions, I do that either through phone or video. Except for when I'm at a expo or something like that, or if I'm in a city and I have time, I'll open it up. If people would like to meet with me one-on-one, then we can also do that.
Well, that sounds really, really appropriate. What are some of the most unusual sessions you've ever had?
Some really beautiful. You know, it's really interesting, especially during galleries. And I got to talk about one because it always comes up. And I always, before a large gallery, I always take time and sit with spirit and saying, okay, hey, would you give me something unique to start with? That way, you know, saying, you know, you can't make any of this stuff up, obviously. And so it was interesting.
I know that.
And this, yeah, right? And but this older lady in spirit came forward, and she was like, oh, Dean, you need to bring up the about Cool Whip and baked beans. And I was like, excuse me? And she was like, oh, you just bring it up. It's a family joke. And I was like, okay, I've learned enough now not even to really question it, even if it seems like, oh, my God, you know, it's like, how harebrained could this be? You know, is it something that I saw on TV or, you know, I just write it down. And so I opened the gallery, and one of the first things I said, I said, I have a really unique, scenario that came up, and I said when I was asking for things to start with is I said I have this older lady in spirit that stepped forward, and she had said that I need to bring up a family joke about Cool Whip and baked beans. And this younger lady rose her hand. She was kind of timid about raising her hand, not only because obviously during galleries they felt like all eyes on them. However, the thing was is that she was like, oh, my God, you know, talking about this family joke. And I said, okay, everybody. And she said, well, first off, That's my grandmother. And she said, secondly, she's talking about my aunt who's still living. And I said, okay, so what's the joke? And she goes, well, it's more, not really much about baked beans, because she loved the baked beans, but the thing that she's talking about is the Cool Whip. And she said, so every family outing that we do, my aunt brings fruit salad. And she said, but when she makes it, she takes the Cool Whip and she waters it down. And we all, of course, we could have heard a pin drop. And so I said, well, everybody's now wondering why she waters it down. And she goes, because she thinks it's diet. And, of course, everybody is laughing. And I said, of course, this is nothing against your aunt. It's just something that is very funny. And I said, how do you even, there's no way you can even make that stuff up. And I said, it's so unique.
No, there isn't.
Oh, go ahead.
And you know, I've been at the Yoshida where they have these tables of 10 people, and you go around and you talk to everybody and whatever. And all of a sudden, I was next to this fancy, fancy businessman. And he says, I dare you, he said to me, I dare you to be right with me. And my spirit guides are like, oh, okay. So, boom. I said, why did you steal $100,000 from the company? He turned white. He says, who have you been talking to? Who have you been talking to? And I, many, many times when people push my spirit to the edge like that, mm-hmm. they come up with something that is so true that the people, the only thing they can say is, who have you been talking to? And I think it's really strange how spirit will tell you the truth when you push it. Has that happened to you before?
Yeah, you know, actually it was one of my very first public readings. And, you know, I talked about earlier, Star, I talked about how I had been doing readings for a year you know, before I started doing this, and I guess professionally. And we had a local rock shop in our community, and I learned that, you know, hey, some psychics and mediums go there, and they kind of do readings out of the back. And somebody suggested, one of the owners said, you need to come and do readings. And I said, no, I don't do readings. And she said, yeah, you need to come. So long story short, I went, and I was giving readings that day. And the very first reading that I did, this lady sat down, and she was like, hey, I'm a skeptic. I don't really believe in mediums, and I want you to tell me the name of the person that I'm thanking and go. And, of course, I'm already, like, kind of timid anyways because I'm not really – I just came out of the – quote-unquote metaphysical closet, I'm in a public space, and I'm like, holy, you know what? I was like, you know, and I was like, well, that's really not the way that this works. But I said, you know what? Let's see what comes up. And so I kind of took a deep breath and closed my eyes. And one of the things, I just heard a voice that said, you know what, Dean, just say F it. And so I kind of laughed, and I did that. And in my mind, and anyways, and so I just kind of released that energy of that anxiety, and all of a sudden it was like somebody opened a fire hydrant of information, very specific names, very. I started seeing all these images, and I just wrote them all down. It came very quick fire, and because she was being very, how do I want to say. Very difficult as a client. And so I said, this is what I'm getting, this is what I'm seeing, and there, how does that work for you? And she walked out quite literally with her mouth open like, I can't believe you just got that. And she was like, oh, my God, that was a client of mine that just passed. She was a caregiver. And it was like, that's who I was wanting to connect to, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah. So we had a little discussion afterwards, and I said, you know, I'm talking about, I'm not here to make you a believer, but the thing is when you, you know, to when you're coming very defensively, when I let go of your energy, I'm saying just kind of threw it back at you, and then just allowed spirit to come forward, you know, they're just going to show up regardless.
Well, it's really interesting. It's really interesting how the client's energy calls different spirits or different things in. You know, sometimes they want to speak to their grandfather, and they speak to the uncle shows up, or they want to speak to their mother, and the mother's best friend, their next door neighbor, shows up. You know, it's interesting that when you call spirit, sometimes you don't get who you called, but that person that shows up usually has the information that person really needs to move their own energy, move on, or answer their questions. So that's always surprising. Well, not surprising. It's always like, oh, okay. It's not who we asked for. All right, we're at the half hour, and we're going to go for commercial break here.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans from around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
And I am here with Dean McMurray. And Sean, if there's anybody on the phone, we'll take a question. So how has your life become enriched from being in this practice of being a medium?
I guess enriched is a great word, Star. You know, at times, you know, being a medium, not just a medium, but you know, when you start on your spiritual journey, it really opens a lot of doors and a lot of challenges. But how has being a medium enriched my life? You know, the biggest thing is just really being aware of the multitude of not only energies but things around us, and really being able to and not only empower my wife and I life by being aware of different things, you know. And when I say empower and being aware of energies, what I'm talking about is being more in tune with not only spirits, but our intuitive selves. And so for a quick example is my wife was going to an appointment one day. I think she was going to meet a girlfriend for coffee or something. And after a few minutes, she went to leave, and a few minutes she came back, and she was very upset. And I said, boy, that was a quick trip. And she goes, well, somebody doesn't want me to go. And I said, what are you talking about? And she was like, both cars will not start. And I was like, come on now. And she was like, I'm serious. And I was like, okay. So I went out, and of course we have a van and then we have a car. And both vehicles started immediately. As soon as I threw the key in, no problems. And I said, you know, I'm really getting something as far as an intuitive hit that we need to look at what route that you would have taken. And sure enough, we were just, you know, to kind of get validation, we were kind of keeping an eye on the local news. And sure enough, there was a car accident on the route that she would have taken. So I said, sometimes when we get this, we just have to remember to really be thankful, even though it might cause a disruption in our everyday, you know, in our everyday life or our routine. and saying, you know what, there's a reason for it, even though we're not seeing it. So, so there's been a lot of those examples in my, I'll just say, in the 9 years on my journey thus far, and saying, you know, just a lot of different
things. I have a spirit guide
that
when I go into bookstores, the bigger bookstores, that knocks books off the shelf. Not every time, maybe every third time. And maybe they're not what I want to read, but after I buy the book and take it home 4 or 5 days later, I have a client or somebody asked me to write an article, and it's exactly about that. So I've had them fall on my head before and not been too hurt, and it just knocks them off the shelves. And I think, well, that's really impolite, but nice. Thank you very much. So spirits can tell you, give you signs and directions of how to move, how not to move, where to go and where to stay away from, but you have to be open to listening to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a beautiful example, Star. Exactly what you were talking about is, you know, if we learn to listen, if we take the time to listen and, you know, quiet ourselves to listen and, and I always use the analogy, too, when I'm talking with folks and even students, is I use the analogy of a six-year-old boy down by the riverbank with a stick, and you see different animals or weird-looking things, and you're trying to kind of make it move or make it do different things. And so I kind of equate energy to the same thing and saying how beautifully gifted each one of us are and saying, that is so cool. What else can I do? You know, and then you experience something else and saying, oh, my God, that's so cool. What else can we do? And so whether you're experiencing or learning, maybe it's dowsing, maybe it's a modality of healing, maybe it's spirit communication. It could be so many different things because things have so many different levels and you can go as deep or as shallow as you want in different areas. But I just find it so beautifully interesting because, you know, saying, oh, my God, that's so interesting. And the more you dig, it takes you to different areas. And just watching it change and manifest into all these different and beautiful things.
And for me originally, I don't know, what was it, 1950-something or other? For me originally, it was being able to surrender enough to let spirit talk through me, to let my voice be used. It was like there's sometimes we have so many control issues, you know, and ego issues or not ego, you know, low self-esteem or high self-esteem. For me being able to say something that I've never learned in my brain or give people information, like I know that this and this and this is this way, it was a real bit of a struggle for me to let go enough to do that. And more people kept confirming what I was saying, and some people didn't, but a month or 6 months later they did, you know? And for me, that was an issue. And people sometimes can't listen because they think they're crazy or they're making it up or something like that. So sometimes being silent and surrendering is really important.
Wow, right. And I think that can't be overstated enough. Is that, you know, what you talked about, some people thinking they're, you know, and I'm sure over, you know, the number of years that you've done this, Star, I'm sure you've heard this over and over again, is, you know, I've had clients come to me and go, oh, my God, Dean, tell me I'm not crazy, you know, and saying, you know, I'm hearing voices and saying, are there some people that need help through the traditional means? Absolutely. But are there some people that are dealing with, if you will, quote-unquote, a spiritual awakening, or did, absolutely, think about how many people have probably been institutionalized or given medications to silence the noise in their head.
Well, you know, I find something really interesting. When I'm listening to Spirit, Spirit never tells me to do stupid stuff. Doesn't tell me to take drugs, doesn't tell me to jump off a bridge, doesn't tell me to drink, doesn't tell me to wash the dishes. Spirit gives me informative things on how to be and how to confirm my choices. Spirit, my guides don't tell me stuff about other people that I see, oh, that person's mean or that person's cruel or I hate that person. They'll say, pray for that person or bless that person. When somebody comes in for a reading, Spirit doesn't look at their whole life, all the negative and positive. It's almost like when they ask the question, it's almost like that question may be about their career. I see that path or that career road, and I'm kind of walking down that road. I don't see how many wives or husbands or what husbands they had. I don't see what they do for fun. You know, sometimes people will ask me questions like, what do I need to change? And then I'll see 12 highways. The voices I hear in my head are positive and neutral. They never tell me to do anything illogical. They are grounded as they are spiritual, and they make suggestions. Here is another choice. This is a choice you can tell this client. They don't ever say, if you don't tell this client not to drive on Thursday, your client's going to die in a car accident. So they will say to me, tell your client that this weekend is a weekend for them to be safe and grounded. So I know people who have voices that tell them the world's going to end, that the aliens are going to land, that get 2 weeks' worth of food and water and hide. And these voices are not the voices of spirit guides of the higher realms. These are voices that are attached to fear, that are coming from some other place. So no, you're not crazy because you hear voices. I've heard voices since I've been a little girl. But what my voices say and what other people's voices say can be very different.
Absolutely. You know, I couldn't have said it better myself. That, you know, you hit that nail directly on the head as far as saying that, you know, really look at, you know, as you shared, saying if something's telling you're coming from a fear place, saying, you know, you should or you need to or you need, you know, Spirit's not going to do that because we're given the beautiful freedom to choose what to do in any given moment. And so to, you know, Spirit's not going to take that, you know, opportunity. So I'm complete agreement with you there as far as, And to really question if somebody is receiving something as far as what would be considered very fearful. As you said, oh, my God, the world's going to end tomorrow, or, you know, you need to go and buy all this
stuff, yeah.
Food or water,
whatever. And maybe if your husband is sick or your wife is sick, maybe you can worry about their health. And your spirit guides might say, take care of the health of your husband. You know, they don't start saying, hey, what are you going to do if your husband dies tomorrow or something like that.
Right.
So pay attention, people, to the voices in your head. They need to be making suggestions, not should, woulds, and coulds. They will give you choices. They won't tell you what's going to happen. Do you need to be prepared? You're having 27 people over for Thanksgiving on Sunday. Be prepared, Star. Go shopping. Get some food. They're not telling me that you know there's going to be an atomic bomb. So pay attention to your voices. If all the people out there who are thinking that they want to be a medium or thinking that they're psychic, the source is very important. The way they word it will tell you if you're receiving appropriately from spirit or not. And Dean can tell you that there's very, very few times that spirit predicts doom. Spirit will say, pay attention, be prepared for, show caution. People, the spirit does not say, don't do this or that, you know.
Right, right. Now, one that I get a lot is if there is something to be concerned about, quote-unquote concern, the one that I hear a lot is be aware, not be afraid, but be aware. And so be more cognizant of your surroundings because there might, and I know you know this, Star, but maybe somebody doesn't, as far as, you know, anytime that spirit talks about something that isn't already here or in the past, is that could completely change. So if we're talking about people, people are completely unpredictable. So what we choose to do or not do completely changes the future event. But so I'm just going to use an example because it came up last year was you know, Spirit, I was given a reading, and I think to a friend, if I remember right, and I said, hey, I'm really getting that you need to be aware of the weather. So, and of course, I live in the Midwest, and the weather is always something to be aware of. But I said, I'm really getting a more of a, you know, a significance or placing weight on being really aware. So just, you know, don't be afraid of the weather, but just really pay attention. So make sure you're checking all your weather sources prior to getting on the road. And it was really interesting because I had given that reading and my friend said, yep, they, you know, they did their 3-hour trip, but I had gone to a little town where my in-laws actually live, and I did not check the weather. And I ended up getting snowed in for 4 days, and I was sat there and I laughed, and because I said I need to be aware. It's not just the other people; it's I need to be aware too. Because sometimes that message is for me too, and I was like, okay, Dean McMurray, you need to be listening to the messages too, because I'm like, you know, thank God I'm not on the road, but the, you know, and I was like, and I'm thankful that I'm somewhere warm and safe. But I was like, I need to be aware as well. And but you're absolutely right. How do, you know, the other thing that I share with people's or those messages, or if you get a voice from spirit or a message from spirit, how does it feel? And I use that a lot, is how does something feel? And I kind of, you know, saying, does it feel heavy to you or does it feel light? And if something is trying to direct you or tell you to do something, saying, darn it, Dean, don't do that, or you need to do this, or feels very authoritative, then for whatever reason, either that's something that I don't want to deal with. You know, it could be my ego or something else. But, you know, but if it feels light and saying, you know, and it's holding me in a heart-centered space and saying, hey, Dean, you just need to be aware about this. I think that I'm really getting something around maybe you should go get your car serviced or looked at. Not getting anything bad, but just, you know, go get it checked out if you feel guided. And saying, hey, we ended up finding I just got an email actually the other day, and this lady had, spirit had said, her grandmother actually told her in this reading I gave this client, it was an email reading, and her grandmother said, hey, she needs to pay attention to the heater. And she kept on, and I just kept on hearing the word heater. And I was like, I'm not sure, and I kept on seeing a fuel oil, the older style. And I said, I'm not sure what you heat with, but I keep on getting, if you feel guided, go and check out your predominantly the filter. And she actually had sent me back. She was like, oh, my God. She goes, the heater went out. I called my husband. He said, change the filter. And as soon as I got off the phone, I opened the email, and here was your thing. And my grandma was telling me to change the filter or suggested that I look at, I should say, suggested that I look at the filter. So they're always, you know, spirit is always looking out for our highest good. It's, if you're connecting to the true source of that divine information and coming from a heart-centered space yourself, and then connecting to that heart-centered space, the divine energy and the information, you know, a lot of people worry saying, well, how do I know that I won't connect to something, dark or malevolent, and saying, if you're doing or coming from the right space and, you know, you're making those, there's a lot of other, we both know that there's a lot of other steps involved, but saying that, you know, as long as you're coming from the right space and with the right intentions, saying you're only, and, you know, only going to connect to spirits and energy that comes from a divine source, then you have no issues.
That's
in
correct.
My book.
Dean, how can we get a hold of you?
You know, Star, if somebody's trying to get a hold of me, they can go over to my website at deanmcmurray.com and click on the contact tab and just shoot me an email.
And you do groups and you do private sessions, you do parties.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you travel, correct?
And I travel, so yes, ma'am.
Well,
you have some
upcoming
online,
places
some...
to go? Where
I
are you going to be
a...
in the next couple of months?
Okay, so for November.
Yeah.
Well, and December, we got some, I'll be up in northern Minnesota in mid-December. And then I have a right here in Fargo, North Dakota. We have December 9th, have a gallery, and then I'm going to try out for the first time. Somebody, my lovely wife suggested that I try an online gallery, so I am going to do a online gallery as well through Zoom, and that information is on my Facebook as well as my website and all that great stuff. You can go there and if you just click on the event tab, you can find all that right there. Or you can find me on Facebook at Psychic Medium Dean McMurray.
Wow, it's been wonderful talking to you today, Dean. Pay attention, the military medium. Go to his website, deanmcmurray.com. and participate with them. Thank you for listening to us today. Goodbye, Dean.
Goodbye, Star.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlightening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, please visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660. See you next time.